top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. I think that, you know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. These lockdowns. Lockdowns. Where do you have lockdowns? Well, you have them in schools these days, which many people have observed. Even the mainstream media has observed. Schools are, you know, so-called schools are, gosh, they're very similar to prisons these days. And as we know, as we've talked about extensively on this broadcast and this network, that's no coincidence. Speaking of Rockefeller influence, Rockefeller, you know, that was one of, again, getting back to what Norman Dodd said, the director of research for the Reese Committee back in the 50s. What did he say? Change life in America, never return to pre-World War I. By means of a perpetual state of war, capture the State Department, control diplomatic machinery of the U.S., control education, prevent a reversion, they called it, in their upside-down, backwards world, you know, that would be a reversion, going back to normalcy and peace. Alter the teaching of U.S. history, and I have talked many times about how Thomas McNeice wrote in his report to the committee, the Economics of the Public Interest, that the way he referred to it, a change so drastic occurred in that four-year period, he said, from 1933 to 36, so drastic as to constitute a revolution. And he said it occurred without a shot and with the overwhelming consent of the majority. How was that? And so that's what he said, you know, in seeking to understand this unprecedented phenomenon, we were like, what? How is this possible? And he said, these guys who wanted to do this thing that Norman Dodd talked about, that he had firsthand experience in during his tenure at a high-level New York bank, a Morgan bank. These guys who told him, this is what we're doing. And then later, as the director of research for the Reese Committee, he they got proof of it. It's been happening. And the Reese Committee's investigation proved, as Thomas McNeice wrote, that it could not have happened unless education in America was prepared in advance to endorse it. And these people who are educating your children, America, how do you feel about that? Isn't that wonderful? The people who say, you know, you look around and they talk about stuff like competition, a healthy competition. Now, like Rockefeller, who said that, you know, competition is a sin, that's Bill Gates, that's Eric Schmidt, that's all these guys. Technocrats, you know, no, they don't, no, they're afraid of competition, you know, an honest, healthy competition. No, not suffer that. Bill Gates is a petulant child who doesn't like being told no. That's who Bill Gates is. Go read about him. Philanthropist. Ah, what a joke. In search of the real Bill Gates, Walter Isaacson. I read you an excerpt earlier. Read about the real Bill Gates. The real Bill Gates is a petulant child who doesn't like being told no. Never has. Who was coddled to the point that, you know, he believed his own, you know, stuff, as they say, and has turned into this megalomaniac now as a result. Benefiting from all sides of a catastrophe that his name was part of planning and preparing for. Over and over and over for years, he himself, constantly at these talks, whether it's the Shattuck Lecture or a TED Talk or whatever, how convenient this guy's running around saying it's not a matter of if, but when funding, you know, whether it's the movie or whatever enterprise or his, you know, eponymous foundation. Sponsoring and participating in the next, you know, pandemic exercise. And then, of course, you know, funding vaccine research, so-called. Funding the global procurement fund, you know, the centralized mechanism Adrian Thomas, excuse me, from Johnson & Johnson is talking about. It's unbelievable. Anyway, back to the phones. JP in Illinois, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Good day. We must listen to Winston Churchill and keep calm and carry on.
Yeah.
How you doing? Say,
it's another beautiful day in America.
Yes, it definitely is. It's an interesting day. And that, you know, I'd like to start with a good book. Just get that out of the way. It's kind of a churchy radio show you got today, if you don't mind. St. Matthew, New Testament, 1535. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into the high mountains apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. So, anyways, I had to follow up after Jimbo out of Chicago. He was all fired up, and hopefully that little verse will let you know where we stand. You know, you're either on the side of lightness and dark, or darkness, and, you know, we are in some dark days. You know, I think you had a lot. You have something to say there with the vaccinations, because you're onto something there, Chris, because that's where it all starts, in the lab. And it's very interesting how the vaccinations, they have to have the disease in order to cure people. So they have a lab somewhere where they have active samples of the disease, and then they figure out an antibody, you know, and that's how they make vaccinations. So you have a point.
Well, you know, and several people have talked about how, there are coronavirus patents. I mean, you start typing coronavirus, I think it's to the point now where coronavirus, if you start typing it, patent is one of the auto suggestions for most of the search engines.
Interesting.
And I think there are more than one. Folks have noted how, you know, the CDC has coronavirus patents. I think Gilead has some. There are several, as far as I know. So speaking of that, yeah. And, you know, speaking of that again, I usually, when this stuff comes up and this whole fast tracking, accelerate production, blah, blah, blah. First of all, when these kinds of things happen, it is always a novel strain, you know, that is the issue, because that's the one they don't have a vaccine for. So, back in 2009, the World Health Organization published that piece titled Safety of Pandemic Vaccines. I'm looking at it right now. August 6, 2009, Geneva. And it says fast-track procedures for approval. Regulatory authorities have shown great flexibility, wow, how convenient, in developing procedures for fast-tracking the approval and licensing of pandemic vaccines. Now, remember, America, the last time, well, this time, the H1N1 stuff in 2009, when this happened, speaking of regulatory flexibility and fast-tracking, remember the $63 million settlement I keep mentioning for brain injury as a result of all of this nonsense, you know, the H1N1 vaccine? So, speaking of the fast-tracking, you skip ahead in this article and it says... In different countries, this is the part, I mean, I'll skip the rest of it. There's a bunch that it's just shocking, but it says Also in Europe, some manufacturers have conducted advanced studies using a so-called mock-up vaccine. Mock-up vaccines contain an active ingredient for influenza virus that has not circulated recently in human populations and thus mimics the novelty of a pandemic virus. Such advanced studies can greatly expedite regulatory approval. So what they're saying, what they're admitting basically, the World Health Organization, is that some governments will sanction a pre-release of what they call a mock-up vaccine so that they can test this thing that's that mimics the novelty of a pandemic virus. What? So how do we know this isn't what's happening? You see what I'm saying?
The information that was floating around earlier in the web, like January, was that it came from Canada, a lab, and it was Middle Eastern, respiratory disease, which had a high kill rate. And then the Japanese Wuhan lab upgraded it. Now, I remember back when you mentioned 2009 and the bird flu H1N1, I worked at UW in the music department at University of Wisconsin, and right across from where my apartment was, it was above a blues bar, it was kind of a cool gig back then, but was the virus lab. It was the biological lab. And so because I was in such close proximity to it, I always kept up with the news. And a lot of it just kind of went away, but I'll never forget, there was a Japanese biological virus student, or he was a grad at the time, and he was able to take that bird flu and increase the potency up to 99.9%. So that's what they do in those labs, is they increase it. They make antibodies for it, but they make it as strong as they can get it before they get the antibodies in there. But in Chinese labs, unfortunately, and I learned this from my military friends, the Chinese and the Russians and the communists do not do those measures. They'll make the virus as best and great as they can make it, but they don't put in the antibody. They don't try to find a cure for it. That's the difference.
There are all kinds of concerns. And, you know, we hear that, when you think of things like cloning people and certain other ethical gray areas, and this is a deep rabbit hole that includes
German.
I mean, it circles back around real quick to Edwin Black's work and the same old eugenics, same old war against the weak, and the Chinese contingent here in academia that's been brought in on purpose. Many folks have talked about that. But setting that all aside, that all notwithstanding, for the general, the unwashed masses who are not familiar with that background, what we hear coming from China should give us enough pause to say, maybe we don't want vaccines made over there. How long? It wasn't that long ago we were hearing melamine in baby formula, for example. So why are we just, I don't know, is it really just because we have a 10-second attention span in America that we just sort of set all that aside and, oh my goodness, we don't have time for that right now. We have to have this vaccine.
Well, thing, Chris, is really important, and this is what Jim touched on earlier, is that we're now in a national emergency. Now, that changes the War Powers Act. Remember, since 9/11, we all go back to 9/11. You go back to when Kennedy gets shot, or 1913, as we talked before. But with 9/11, it fundamentally changed our laws. So even though you could go on and on about your First, Second, and Fifth Amendment, which is good to keep your mouth shut, Fifth Amendment is also a very important one. But in this case, when we're under a national emergency, all the power goes to the president. And he's the ultimate Caesar right now. So what he says goes, basically. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. So you could go on
and on about it. It goes much further back than that, which is what we talked about yesterday. That's why I played the Norman Dodd clip. That's why I mentioned Senate Report 93-549 from 1973, which the Bush 2 administration referred to when they published the updated CRS Report 98-505 updated September 18, 2001, they referred to Senate Report 93-549, which was the report published by the Senate committee, the special committee to terminate the national emergency. And in that report in 1973, they said that most Americans have lived the last 40 years, all of their lives, since, you know, what they pointed to was Roosevelt's 1933 March 9 declaration of state of emergency, national emergency. But then they mentioned that there was also Truman, there was also Nixon. And, you know, we've had several on the books that have never been repealed.
It's right when the bomb went
off. It goes far back. It far predates
9/11. It could be when the deep state started is when the bomb went off. Maybe that's the point. Maybe you're onto something there.
No, when it really was codified was the National Security Act. That's when we got the National Military Establishment and all of this hardware, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the DOD, the CIA, you know, that was the Phoenix raised from the ashes of the OSS. That's when it was institutionalized.
Interesting.
So, you know, one of the things I was thinking about in the last segment is that the Afghani people have been attacked for more than 200 years by the Anglo-American establishment and British intrigue, and we've been a proxy for that, which is fun. But, maybe we should learn from those folks. And I was saying, you know, in this time, this little timeout that we have, maybe we should learn some lessons. And, you know, the great military leaders of history have, you know, that area of the world, that region has been sort of the unconquerable region because of their fierce tribal nature, I would say, largely, in large part. They trust people in their village that they grew up around that they can see and touch. And if you live even a mile down the road and they don't know you, they don't trust you. And I think there's a sensibility in that. And so the Anglo-American establishment has been beating on those people for more than 200 years. And it's been basically what British intelligence and British intrigue says is that, you know, if we can conquer those guys, then we can conquer anyone anywhere. And so you see
that
in
the Scottish, you know, 300 years ago.
You see it in
the frontline troops.
Yeah, you see it in reports like NATO and Afghanistan, a test of the transatlantic alliance, which is why I've mentioned that one a million times. RL33627, I think it's October 23rd. Installment in particular, which says the mission of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in Afghanistan is a test. It's an exercise, kind of like Mike Pompeo is saying we're in right now. A test of the alliance's political will and military capabilities is what it says. And it says the mission
is
difficult.
The thing. There's a lot of gray there, brother, and it goes back to 9/11. Just think about it. You know, was it an exercise or was it real? It reminds me of that conversation the young officer had with Cheney. Is the operation still stands? Does the order still stand, sir? And he says, of course it does.
Hold on. We'll be right back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Theater of war.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Now hiring role players for law enforcement training exercise Houston, Texas, and surrounding areas. That's on Craigslist right now, Houston Craigslist. Dates and times Monday through Friday, March 23rd to 27th, 2020. I took a screenshot of it. Everybody should. This kind of crap is what I'm talking about. So, people can't assemble in groups of more than 10. Does that mean that crowds on demand are out of business for right now? Crowdsondemand.com, your home for protests, rallies, advocacy, audiences, PR stunts, and political events. Services available nationwide. Houston Craigslist, now hiring role players for law enforcement training exercise. Houston, Texas, and surrounding areas. $20 an hour. Pay $20 an hour. I mean, that's, hashtag fight for 20, I guess. I don't know. Please submit these via email to opforjobs at protonmail.com. So even bad guys use Proton Mail, of course. In the subject line, write Houston event, followed by your first name and last name. For example, Houston event, colon, John Doe. I'm going to submit Houston event, John Doe. We look forward to hearing from you. Isn't that fun? So additional details, each day you will check in with your team at a meetup location. A shuttle will then transport you to the exercise location. After the exercise has concluded for the day, the shuttle will bring you back to the meetup location. Based on customer requirements, who is the customer, pray tell? Based on customer requirements, working hours are subject to change, so you must be flexible. Must, capital M-U-S-T. Number two, detail number two. Just like a cop thriller, You'll be in mock scenarios involving muzzled dogs, blank firing guns, simulated explosions, and other loud noises. Paintball-type training ammunition will also be used to more effectively simulate real gunfights. But safety gear will be provided, so just have fun with it. Number three, be ready to break a sweat. Your heart will be racing when the action starts, and you'll need to lay down for cover frequently. Run for short distances, climb up and down stairs, etc. And then this is capitalized as well. To be considered, you must have current health insurance and submit the following: a headshot, your availability, your phone number. Please submit these via, you know, what I already said. Tactical Revolution LLC is looking for 50 males and 5 females ages 18 and up. So Tactical Revolution LLC is the company mentioned, but yeah, is that the real customer? So is that Tactical Revolution, which one? There's one in Jupiter, Florida. I wonder if that's connected to Century International Arms and the Iran-Contra stuff that just never seems to go away. Or is it the one in Virginia, or West Virginia, excuse me. Anyway, so speaking of flooding the zone, we should have, you know, Americans in groups of 10, because you wouldn't want to assemble in groups of more than 10 flooding this zone. Hey, Tactical Revolution guys showing up, knocking, you know, what's going on? What are you guys preparing for? Who actually hired you? It's time, America, for all of this nonsense to stop. It's time for the PSYOPs and the color revolution and all of the nonsense to stop. You know, I was lamenting yesterday off air, as I've done on air and off air, as probably we all have, that it's just astonishing to me that bad guys, the builders, keep building, and yet, you know, the interwebs are out there. We have all of this information out there, and we're duplicating effort, and we're doing all this stuff, but we can't seem to build on our own efforts. You know, fine, there is, you know, shame on bad guys for co-opting and conscripting the Shkuel, the Prussian, you know, what was supposed to be education for our young people, and just running our youth through PSYOPs. Shame on bad guys for doing that. But shame on all of us for, where is the place where you can, or places? There are a lot of great resources out there. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people have dedicated their lives to helping their fellow man, and specifically their fellow American. But where's the place where we all, you know what, this is where you point people, this is where you get knowledge up, these are the basics, this is the 201 version and beyond? Where are those resources? It's a scattered, you know. Anyway, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
No trophy, no flower. No flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse. Assail him, impale him with monster truck force.
I think I want to start playing Andrew Breitbart's 2012 CPAC introduction. It's enough, you know. Definitely war, like he was saying, 8 years ago, almost a decade already. So, tactical revolution. So this is Houston. Is it the Tactical Revolution LLC that is located at 14924 Corporate Road, South Jupiter, Florida? Would this be considered doxing? Is that what this is? I don't think so. I think it's just, you know, it's transparency. And speaking of that, if we're all supposed to capitulate to this garbage, I would say, you know what, you first. Congress, you first. Bill Gates, you first. Technocrats, you first. Show us. Show the herd that it's such a wonderful thing. Take your shots. Get your implants, all that garbage. Let's see how well the tracking works. Let's see how well the surveillance works. No, it's, Chris, it's fully anonymized. You can't, right. Go back and read Paul Ohm's research paper. Remember 2009, Broken Promises of Privacy, responding to the surprising failure of anonymization, where he used three high-profile examples to illustrate that anonymization is a fallacy. It's a myth. And the abstract of the paper reads, computer scientists have recently undermined our faith in the privacy-protecting power of anonymization. This was something that usually when I mention this, I mention that Andrew Rajet mentioned this at the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum that C-SPAN aired. This is not news. This is, everyone should know this. So you have to wonder, why don't we ever hear about this? Scientists, computer scientists, undermine our faith in the power of anonymization. The name for techniques for protecting the privacy of individuals in large databases by deleting information like names and social security numbers. These scientists have demonstrated they can often re-identify or de-anonymize individuals hidden in anonymized data with astonishing ease. This is why they don't publish the Netflix likes. Why is that? They've done that. You can de-anonymize people with likes and a list of movie likes and a zip code and a gender. What? Really? Yes. By understanding this research, we realize we have made a mistake, labored beneath a fundamental misunderstanding, which has assured us much less privacy than we have assumed. This mistake pervades nearly every information privacy law, regulation, and debate. Yet regulators and legal scholars have paid it scant attention. We must respond to the surprising failure of anonymization, and this article provides the tools to do so. Do you notice that you never hear this discussion from Congress? Why is that? Who's driving the bus? Back to the phones. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
How are you? Good morning. I know,
moist,
right?
Under the armpits, as my grandpa used to say.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said moist under the armpits, as my grandpa used to say.
Okay. I got to hand it to you. You got a difficult job because you have to look at all sorts of sources. But I will say that I listened to your archive yesterday, and you had mentioned that David Icke video. And so I went to look at it. Really interesting. Because the person that was interviewing him, he said he kind of gave an overview of where he was, where his thoughts were, and he was saying that, you know, he gets his flu vaccine every year. He said, "You might be able to change my mind at some point." Now, I didn't watch the whole thing. How much of it did you watch?
The whole thing.
Okay, well, good. Then maybe you can clarify some things. But, I mean, I'm not going to go that deep into it. But one thing he said was about the cashless society. That was one way they were going to go, potentially. And from where I'm sitting, it's really bizarre because, I mean, honestly, the last couple times I've gone to the store, I can't hardly function because I feel like a leper, but usually my sister's there to temper me, you know, and I need to learn how to read the body language of the cashiers, but I think a lot of people are afraid right now, and I kind of wanted to talk about that, about perception versus reality.
Yeah.
So perception is you're going to go through life and you can do whatever you want to do and life's going to be grand. And, you know, because, I mean, that's what we're, I mean, for years, Chris, you know, growing up, no issues, no problems, you know, mom and dad had our backs, and, you know, then you grow up, and, you know, especially in this day and age. So the girl that checked, was the checker, she was about 25 maybe. She was afraid, and I didn't know what to say, and I just
speaking of the,
say they had to get a new checker, huh?
Then
I
afraid of what?
I was not just afraid of this whole virus. You know, but she was there. She had a choice. She didn't have to be there. They were all wearing gloves, and by the time
so
it was
Missouri,
all done, she had to get a
223 confirmed cases. What is it? 5 total deaths.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And
population, state
yeah.
population, what?
I don't even know.
Approximately.
No clue. But I'm outside of St. Louis, so I don't, you know, I don't pay attention to those numbers. But basically, what I want to say is perception is.
Yeah.
If you read the, if
and
you watch the news.
I'm trying to validate your point. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
5 deaths statewide.
I'm talking about like age ranges, the age range
mm-hmm.
of people,
yeah.
and the reactions to this. A lot of people that are checkers right now are in the millennial or whatever, the 20 early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have somebody around you that knows anything, and I don't think she did,
yeah.
let's just say I said something I regret, which was basically. I got up there and she said, ma'am, that was strike one against, I do not go by ma'am, but okay. Ma'am, you're going to have to stand over there. I said, okay. And I said, can I ask you a question? I don't want to talk about it. I said, excuse me? I don't want to talk about it. I said, well, can I ask you a question about your products, like when you're going to get one back in? Or wait, she goes, what's your question, ma'am? And I said, well, I was going to ask you about product, but never mind, not with that attitude. And then she continues to do the checking, and I feel really bad about my response, really bad. I shouldn't have said this. I said, you know what? I do have a question. How did you get your job? And that's when she got a different checker. I should have been more compassionate. I couldn't help it, and I need to check myself, you know, because these people, when you experience something like that, not only is she affecting my perception, which I don't like, I need to get a grip on it, you know? And maybe give her an encouraging word somehow. But, you know, it's crazy. But what I want to say about perception versus reality, a couple things is, I remember when I took a speech class, right? And most of us didn't know anybody in the class, and the speech teacher, he handed out a bunch of adjectives. And he said, okay, I want each person to attribute these adjectives to other people. We all sat around. That was that icebreaker exercise, you know? And so I can't remember what all of them were. I know I can only remember 2 that were attributed to me because the most votes won. One was that I would be the most likely to secretly get a tattoo. Whoa, you know, if that doesn't tell me the perception is so wrong. The other one was being the most wealthy, right? They looked at me, all by the looks, just by looking at you, the most likely to be wealthy, right, just by looking at someone. So, and everybody's, like, laughing because that wasn't true about any of us because we didn't know each other, right? But let's just say, okay, regarding the situation going on right now. So if we're able to focus, not on a national level, because, I mean, that stuff will, you know, freak some people out. But if you look at where you're sitting right now, look at your surroundings, you're still okay, right? And
me?
Well, I'm just saying.
I think it's...
people that listen.
Anybody that's paying attention, I think generally we could say by and large we're okay. And that's not to dismiss anything, but to say to speak to what you're saying, you know, the reality versus the the
perception,
the Anton Mesmer spell that's being sought to be cast, the Jedi mind trick.
Right. So you're sitting there and you're fine. You watch the news. Somehow you don't think you're so fine, right? I don't know.
Right, but again, I mean, that's what Brzezinski wrote, for example, specifically in Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. That's, you know, as you know, that's what guys like Brzezinski were saying. So what we're going
to
do.
So when you hear this, you have to say, okay, you have to separate yourself. This is what they say is going on, but what's really going on in my world, right? Go outside for a walk, look around, breathe in the fresh air, be happy that you're well. But you might be able to relate to this too. So, like, when my brother got cancer, it was like, okay, that's serious. Okay, so you get a diagnosis like that. And I couldn't do it for him, but God bless him. We all were praying, and he was like, okay, Lord, I guess you're not done with me yet, right? So we're going to do this together. And that's the other thing that David Icke spoke about. He said that your reaction should be equal to the problem. And right now, you know, it's being escalated. But you have to remember, right, is this happening to me, or am I just watching it? Otherwise, your immune system will get lower from the stress, you know. But when somebody you know is diagnosed with cancer, the healing starts in the mind. Starts with the mind. Are you going to go, right, oh, woe is me, and give up? Or are you going to fight it? He was, thank God, well, he was a fighter. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, what were you going to say about, what was the woe about?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you know, to what you just said, basically, according to Sun Tzu, you know, first of all war is, all warfare is based on deception. And right, second of all, you want to conquer your enemy in the mind first. Know your enemy, according to Sun Tzu. Know yourself, know your enemy, secure in all your battles, and then conquer your enemy in the mind first. So that comes to mind. But, you know, back to the perception versus reality. Perception is be afraid, be very afraid. But in Missouri, from what I understand, population around 6,223,000 cases, which is 0.0003.5% or so. You know, that's, yep, not, that's 0.00, what is it, 0.003? So, I mean, it's, what is it, less than 0.001%, mm-hmm, right now of cases. That's not even deaths. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's the reality. So, even if, I mean, that's, I should say, that is the, if we can take the information at face value. But again, even as Fraulein Burks and, you know, Pinocchio, Fauci, and everybody else have acknowledged, the data is suspect. You know, even Burks said, we're gonna hear subsequently cases overreported, underreported. So if we can take the numbers in Missouri at face value, then it's less than 0.001% cases to population.
Now, if we could quickly talk about the individual, and I've wanted, you know, there's been so many times where I'm like, why can't I just put it in words? And then you'll kind of tie that bow and, you know, you'll finish it off. And like Fred in Iowa says sometimes, but you kind of know what I want to say and you say it. So a lot of what I've said talking to you is talking about individual responsibility, right? And mm-hmm, like if we talk about individual responsibility versus a herd mentality, and we talk about medicine. So you're, we could go with another diagnosis, right? Say you're diagnosed with diabetes. You can say, okay, doctor, what pill do I take? Or you can say, no, I don't want diabetes, so I'm going to fix myself and I'm going to be proactive, take responsibility for myself. I'm not going to be on a drug.
Right.
And you know, you don't run to the doctor because they're practicing medicine too. They'll tell you that. They're just practicing. How can we, like, we can practice too. We can go online. We can find the remedies for things, right? So, like, I've heard, I mean, I don't even know. I had a whole thing of cinnamon, went to the store, and I don't know why, I bought another one. I mean, I use it a lot these days, but then I found one of the hosts on RBN. I think it might have been Ingrid Castle or Sally L. Cordy, but one of those shows. You know, cinnamon is a natural antiviral, right? And if this is a virus, right? Cinnamon, right? But anyway, another one, I think Dr. Kelly Royce on the weekend talked about thyme, you know? So a lot of this stuff you probably have in your kitchen. But you know, we need to not just take responsibility for what we might get health-wise, but, you know, it needs, really should be a lifestyle. And I'm hoping that a lot of people do, you know, decide, hey, I'm going to eat healthier and I'm going to be well and help others be well, you know, physically and hopefully mentally, you know. I mean, I'm not immune either. I have to remind, especially when I go out, I have to remind myself that this is, you know, this is not my reality. But real quick, the last thing I want to say is, so about the cashless society. So cash money is dirty. Use plastic. I can see where this is going, Chris. You've talked about this. But cash money is dirty. Use plastic. So I'm using plastic. And then I go to a store that I frequent. And the girl that I talk to a lot, she knows me, you know. She goes, can you just slide your card through the card reader? I hand it to her. I said, what? She goes, well, there's as many germs on plastic cards. So apparently they got that public service announcement out there, right?
Yeah. Many and people like, have been talking what? About that, seeing that out in the,
And we know where that's going to go. Well, we don't want dirt. We don't want germs, right, or dirt. So that's going to lead to a freaking chip underneath the skin.
It's already happening. I circulated an article in Forbes last night titled Coronavirus Stimulus Offered by House Financial Services Committee Creates New Digital Dollar. And so there you go.
Yep.
So it's it reads, as the markets continue to drop, economic impacts from coronavirus pandemic, the newest offer by House Democrats includes a very forward-looking kind of stimulus, the creation of a digital dollar, quote-unquote, and the establishment of digital dollar wallets. And what will send shockwaves through the cryptocurrency and blockchain industry? It's a Brer Rabbit argument. There is no, just for people who might believe that kind of garbage, there is no dissension amongst the ranks. The cryptocurrency is the Rothschild currency. Just don't kid yourself. Particularly for those who follow the central banking digital currencies around the world, this signals the U.S. is serious in establishing infrastructure for a central bank digital currency. There you go. It's all central bank digital. It's all ARPANET currency, people. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah, so I just want to encourage people to not to let this get to their minds, because I know you've mentioned it. I think I've heard other people say it's more like a mind virus. But
yeah, absolutely.
Even if you are diagnosed with something, even if you are, step back for a second and say, 2 minutes ago, I didn't know I had this. And then take a deep breath and go, okay, now how do I fix it naturally? Imagine
an America where if there was a zombie apocalypse, so to speak, I'm being a little, you know, facetious. Okay, a lot facetious. But if there was that, it was all of us who know the game that's being played, and that we weren't, you know, vocal in our opposition per se. We just kept showing up and showing up and showing up. And the Joe Bidens and the Bill Gates and all of these guys were like, they just won't go away. They're following me everywhere.
Right?
That would be so wonderful.
If we just remember that, you know, what we're seeing is not really our reality. It's only, I'm going to sound like that guy, what was his name, Jorge Ramos, where he said, I don't even know what's going on unless I turn on, or he said, I don't know what's going on unless I look for it. You know, he said, there was a time when Jorge Ramos of Telemundo Vision or whatever, he said, you know, I'm in Miami, and I feel like I'm in my home country of Mexico, right? Because everybody's speaking his language, and he can turn on the TV and listen to stuff in Spanish. So that's his reality. So
I don't think it's a coincidence when you speak of stuff like that, that I've mentioned Michael Lind's book and that the Brazilianization that he mentioned and his you know, the book that used to be on Wikipedia, The Next American Nation, has disappeared. It's been sanitized. So if they couldn't retreat to their Brazilianized enclaves, what would happen? Anyway.
So I think right now we should all, if you find yourself getting stressed, turn on some nice classical music or take a walk or, you know, go thank God that you're alive today and that maybe he can use you to do something good. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. All right.
Thank you,
Rhonda. Have a good day.
Much appreciated, as always. Jerry and Fred, doggone it. Sorry we missed you, guys. In Rhonda's defense, she's called a couple of times before, and we've she got the same treatment, so... I apologize to everybody when that happens. That's unfortunate. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Another thing I was going to say, speaking of Missouri and the Midwest, how can these soothsayers tell us that the coronavirus is going to attack the Midwest next? That was something I saw in the last couple of days. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.